And we formed about a year and a half ago to really kind of look at the root problems of poverty and what we see in some of our neighborhoods, specifically the old ones that are a little under-resourced and maybe, you know, money, business is pushed to a different side of town. And so we wanted to really get to the root cause of it and start looking at changing and transforming and revitalizing those old neighborhoods kind of from the inside out. And so we, you know, start working on strategies and partners and working with other community groups and businesses to try and look at long-term change in some of the parts of our community that need it the most, and try and develop a model that can be replicated and used anywhere.
And I love that you said root cause. That's just too, that's too perfect. That's too perfect. Now tell me a little bit about San Jacinto. Now that's the, specifically the neighborhood. Is Square Mile really just super focused on that area, or is that just like what you're starting with?
Well, you know, San Jacinto is kind of our target area, and that's it's accessible to a lot of folks. It's one of the oldest neighborhoods in Amarillo. It's got a lot of history. You know, we've got ties to my family. My grandfather was born on a kitchen table, you know, in San Jacinto way back in the day. And when I was a hooligan running around at 16, 17, you know, a bunch of 17-year-old boys could rent a house there, you know, back in the early 90s. And so got a lot of personal history, but that's our focus. It's accessible. There's a lot of really beautiful culture, rich history there. But we do a lot in other communities in East Amarillo, North Amarillo, Northeast. We do stuff all the way internationally in Mexico and some other places, and teach and do trainings really around the state and around the country.
So it's really about like revitalization of kind of like rundown, low income areas.
Absolutely.
With a lot of history, like old kind of, you know, buildings that are kind of falling apart, but people don't have a lot of energy or money to, you know, keep up. So you're just kind of like zeroing in on those in the Amarillo area.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at our community, which isn't unlike a lot of other ones, where, you know, at one point in time, all these neighborhoods were vibrant, you know, families, it was solid, they were strong parts of our community. And then as business changed, as industry changed, as people started building new neighborhoods, resources and everything went away from these older, you know, neighborhoods. And then what went from, you know, strong old communities where people own their houses, it turned into rental properties. And then as, you know, as that goes on, you see higher crime rates, you know, all the stereotypical things. So really what we want to do is help put resources and opportunity back in those old neighborhoods so they can be solid for families again. And it can be a place where people grow up and they don't want to stay away from. They actually want to come back and have a sense of identity and community in these old neighborhoods where they, you know, were born.
And one of the components of that is where Danny comes in, Nuke City Veg. There's a little bit of a Venn diagram overlap here, whereas Square Mile is really focused on quite a bit. It's very diverse, and I'll have you talk about that in a minute. But just one of the components is healthy eating and wellness. Danny, you tell us about Nuke City Veg. It's a really fascinating story, and you have, you're doing some work with Square Mile as well.
Yeah. So I started Nuke City Veg shortly before getting laid off at Hastings.
And Hastings is
Hastings Entertainment. It was a nationwide movie, music, video store that went bankrupt in 2016. So I was just kind of gardening for myself and wanted to get better at it. So I started doing some research and found this guy that grows up in Canada. Fresh produce and sells to restaurants and farmers market. And I was like, well, I could probably do that. So started my backyard, sold out at the Amarillo Community Market, 15 minutes, first day.
Not bad.
Tore out the rest of my backyard. And it's kind of snowballed from there. We started talking with Brady early 2017.
Yeah.
To start maybe farming or supplying a market that they were thinking about putting in. And then that transformed into starting to farm two plots of land that was donated to them. So, yeah.
Pretty impressive. Now, the Square Mile, the Nuke City Veg Square Mile crossover is a specific farm that's at, what, six? Is it Bushland and six?
Bellevue.
Six in Bellevue. Yeah.
Sixth in Bellevue. And tell us about what that garden is doing right now.
Well, right now it's kind of sitting because it's cold. But we have a high tunnel that has our two main crops, our spring mix and our gourmet salad mix, which right now we're moving towards restaurants because they're the ones that, you know, need consistent supply. we sell those to OHMS, Yellow City Street Food, Fire Slice, and Copper Fire Grill. And so we don't have a lot at the moment, so that's kind of where it's all moving towards, is towards the restaurant. But as we start growing more and more, as the weather heats up and the days get longer, we'll be able to move that to, you know, neighborhood people that want to come and just buy fresh produce, and at the community market when it opens again.
Yeah. Now, you also have a community-supported agriculture, which is not something that's super common on the High Plains, because a lot of people do their own gardening or just prefer to just get something at the grocery store. Tell us about that, because that's a direct-to-consumer.
Yeah, for sure. So it's a 25-week program, starts in April.
Don't mention how much, because this is public radio. We don't talk about money.
Okay. We won't do that.
They can go to your website.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, for sure. It starts the 29th of April and runs until, I think it was the 19th of October. Mm-hmm. You'll get a weekly box or a bi-weekly box, depending on if you pick a full share or a half share. And it'll be everything that's available on the farm that week. And we do collard greens, Swiss chard, mustard greens, our spring mix, and our gourmet salad mix. Dill, cilantro, and basil.
Mm.
Those will be like the foundation of the box. And then as we move into summer, we'll be doing tomatoes. Sun gold cherry tomatoes is really what we do. Patty pan squash. I think we're probably also going to be doing some crookneck.
What is crookneck?
It's a yellow squash. It's,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just a yellow
squash.
Is that
a bean?
No.
Uh-uh. Crookneck.
Crookneck squash, yeah. And English cucumbers. And we might throw in some other stuff too
that we haven't really. Radishes and the carrots.
Yeah, radishes and carrots. Yeah.
Now your selection of produce, I'm guessing that that's specific to High Plains. I know there are definitely challenges of trying to grow here.
For sure.
Growing on the High Plains. Every Thursday at 10:30, we get to hear about really fascinating things that apply to all of the High Plains. It's a little tricky to grow here.
Well, so the greens, as I was trying to, you know, get established, doing a lot of research, I couldn't find anything that said grow greens on the High Plains.
it was usually don't grow greens on the High Plains.
Yeah, pretty much. It was the opposite. And so I was like, but why? And so I just kind of did it. And it, you know.
Sounds like you probably did some research and trial and error.
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't actually too hard. It's the summer gets exceptionally hot, so you definitely have to, you know, change your watering strategy so that you get that evaporative cooling, or use shade cloth. But I didn't use much more than a normal water amount for a city home. So I mean,
You've got the secret handshake. Like, you figured it out.
Yeah.
And I feel like anybody who would wanted to get involved with Nuke City or Square Mile, like, these are ways we could glean all this information about how to grow spinach without breaking your heart breaking.
Right.
Sorry, this is speaking from personal experience. Maybe that's...
Spinach is pretty hard, though, because it's not heat tolerant at all.
Yeah.
Unless you get a super crazy variety.
Yeah.
But... I think we have like a weird crawling spinach that is supposed to be good for in the heat, but we haven't grown it yet.
We'll
see how that goes.
Yeah. I don't want my spinach crawling personally. Now, Brady, tell us a little bit about, just because Square Mile has got so many different components to it. Tell us a little bit about those different components, and maybe just a little bit about what's going on with each of them right now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, our partnership with Nuke City, and doing, you know, Square Mile Farms down on 6th Street is been our big one. And that's kind of been, the most visible and the most public. And honestly, it's one of the most fun projects that we're doing. You know, really the neat thing about this that is kind of innovative, and we are working with University of Texas Law with some of their lawyers to help really develop a replicable system between partnerships with the you know, a for-profit like Nuke City Veg and a nonprofit like Square Mile to do more social enterprise and really utilizing business to meet a need in a community, but also to help put money back into that community. Because, you know, you can't revitalize a neighborhood unless there's, you know, economic opportunities, whether that's jobs, whether that's, you know, creating money that stays in that neighborhood. And so that has been a big part of what the farm is. You know, it's a, San Jacinto is a USDA food desert. Which means there's not access to a grocery store within a mile or two, and it's significantly low income, and people don't have good transportation. And so we're able to provide fresh produce to the community, which is great, but we're also able to create a business that has a revenue stream through the restaurants and whatnot that makes us sustainable. And is that sustainable, unlike like a community garden where you have to have volunteers come out all the time, we actually run this like a farm.
Yeah, it's our responsibility.
Absolutely.
Anybody that wants to come and help,
we love
you'll take the help.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But you've got it covered by yourself.
And you'll get something in return.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. Absolutely. But, you know, so that allows us to have a foundation to where we're not having to constantly go out and beg for volunteers and whatnot. We actually bring in revenue, which will allow us to kind of grow and expand and put more resources back into the community. And that helps us, from Square Mile's perspective, fund other projects and initiatives that we have going on. For Danny, it helps grow his farm and helps provide, you know, that stable, you know, foundation for him to grow and be able to provide for his family. So it's kind of a win-win, you know, for everybody. So farm's a big deal. We are working with doing a pilot program with some local banks and foundations to put together a program that's kind of a small business mentoring program for low-income and underserved individuals and folks that don't have access sometimes to some of the resources to get a business started. So we're doing that program as well. And then we're actually doing a chaplaincy program as well as part of our kind of spiritual care initiative. And we're working with a new residential drug and alcohol treatment center here in Amarillo called ARAD.
We've had them on this program.
And so we're handling kind of the spiritual care side for them. And then we've, you know, like I said, we do a lot of teaching and training on community development and really looking at community-based resources and how to utilize those to transform things. And so it's a lot of fun. And, you know, with us, I think for us in the farm, we see this as a wonderful way that other organizations, that individuals can bring in supplemental revenue, they can grow their own food, they can make some money off of it. Other organizations that are looking to meet needs in their community can do more than just do a food pantry. You know, they can do more than just try a community garden. They can start a farm and they can possibly employ people from the neighborhood. They can, you know, really build a foundation to partner with restaurants and others to keep money in, growing, and be able to meet a need. And for us, you know, for our vision of community development and our strategy as a nonprofit, is we don't do free stuff. We don't give stuff away unless it's emergencies. We want people to feel like they have input and that they have value. May not have money, but maybe they have some time, or maybe they have a story. Everybody has something of value that we can kind of trade to be able to help somebody and empower them at the same time. And so our partnership with Nuke City really kind of it really encapsulates that and really is a good figurehead for us to kind of push that mentality and that strategy forward.
I love that. I love that there's this, you know, this vision of like, you know, self-starting. One of the lines in your on your website says our neighborhoods don't need handouts, they need opportunities.
Absolutely.
And hooking up with Danny, who just was like, welp, I guess I'm going to dig up my backyard and
much.
Turning it into something. And I think that really does, you know, I've been on the High Plains for just a couple of years, but that's the spirit that I see all up and down the entire listener region. And I just think it's fantastic what you guys are doing. Do you guys have any advice for gardeners specifically that are probably thinking about putting some stuff in the ground right now?
Start small.
Start small.
Yeah.
Like a colander?
Well, no.
Because that's what I was thinking.
So at Nuke City, we use standard size garden beds, so 30 inch wide, 25 feet long. For a home, if you're wanting to grow for yourself, I'd start with maybe one or two of those, because and diversify your bed, have more than just one thing planted in it.
So when the flea beetles come,
you can sacrifice some and just kill all the flea beetles at once. Yeah, so I guess that would be my advice.
Start small.
Start
small.
Yeah, don't get overwhelmed with a whole bunch of stuff. Even if you're doing it like on a profitable, if you're trying to get like a profitable farm going, in your backyard. Start small. Don't do all kinds of varieties of stuff, because then you get overwhelmed. You can't learn the nuances of what the plant does and your soil, and because you have everything that you have to keep track of, and keep good records of when you plant things and germination dates and harvest dates.
This is sound advice.
Yeah. So
now you were mentioning the food deserts, USDA, you know, food deserts being like if you're beyond a mile from a grocery store. I can imagine all up and down rural high plains, this is just, we're going to be rife with food deserts. So it's nice to hear that you're encouraging people to start their own gardens and start them in their yard and at least have access to fresh produce.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
But also, you know, people are so disconnected from their food system now. You know, cities have a week's worth of food at any given time, and what happens when that system gets messed up, even just a little bit? You know, go your backyard, get your own food.
Yeah.
Or, and also, so blanked out. What was I even saying? That's so dumb. Food scarcity.
Food scarcity.
Food scarcity.
It'll come to you.
I just lost it. I'm sorry.
it'll come to you.
It is almost lunchtime. don't even sweat it.
And that is, I think, part of it is, you know, people have done gardens. Like our grandparents did Victory Gardens. You know, mm-hmm. And like Danny said, we've got away from some of that. I mean, the convenience of going to the grocery store and picking up stuff. And, you know, I think for us, the added incentive, besides just growing your own stuff for your own benefit, is if you can monetize some of that, if you can bring in some revenue, if you can not just grow for yourself, but you can figure out a way to pull in a few extra $100 a month for your family, figure out a way to, you know, for especially in even smaller, you know, communities that are already doing some of this, but you're able to create a market and be able to create more of a localized economy, which helps bring sustainability to families and to neighbors and communities without having to rely on outside systems. And, you know, for us, I think in the High Plains, like you said, we kind of do what we want. And you know, we're a little, we are, and we're kind of independent about things. And for us, this is a really cool project and a really awesome way to be able to take care of food, but we don't have to rely on others. We can do this, and we can teach others to do it. They can be independent, and they can at the same time take care of their neighbors and their community and do it with a heart, you know, and that kind of really hits a lot of buttons for us. You know, it's taking care of yourself, but it's also taking care of your neighbor and looking out for others and doing it in a way that's sustainable.
And both of your organizations have so many branches to them. I'm excited to see how this is gonna continue going, moving
all
forward.
These plant puns.
Yeah, getting. I know exactly. You're welcome.
No, yeah. This is why our partnership works really well, because that's about exactly what I was trying to say: is to localize your food system so that you can have that food security and not have to rely on those outside systems.
Not to mention that grocery bills are astoundingly large.
Right.
Yeah. And we grow organic. I mean, we don't grow organic, but we grow natural. No pesticides, no anything. Right. If you wanted to go, you know, and that's what we teach people how to do. If you want to go buy organic produce, it's going to cost you more, but it's really simple to grow it yourself.
And you're feathering the nest of big organic. This is what I've been told by people.
Yeah, that's somewhat true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of true. Well, tell us
mostly.
Tell us about the fundraiser you have coming up on March 1st.
So, one of our restaurants that we supply, OHMS, Josh Fuller there, he came to us and suggested that we do like a farm to table dinner, get as much stuff locally as possible, and you know, greens from Nuke City. And we sat down and we were like, this is an amazing idea. So, because I don't think there has been a farm to table, like sit down dinner sponsored by
I haven't heard of one.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were just on board, and it was all his idea. Like, he came to us and was like, we should do this. And we were like, well, yeah, why not? And so,
yeah. And he, I mean, and you can't say enough about, just, you know, Josh and his heart for this. And, you know, there's networks like Danny's involved with Young Farmers of America. And there's a network of small growers that are producing food and, you know, meat and different things around in the area. And so there's a lot of momentum with our local restaurants into buying local and into doing that. And Josh has done a lot with that and really has that heart. And when he approached us, he said, you know, we'll do this 100%. 100% goes to you guys. He said, we'll cover everything. So this is, you know, there's no overhead for us as an organization. It's all donation. It's all going back in. And it gets to be a really cool four-course dinner with cocktails and, you know, and locally sourced food with their amazing chefs. And it benefits, you know, the work that we're doing and helps promote some of the local growers and really that local food production movement, which we're excited about. Yeah.
Well, and we're kind of like on the cusp of it being established too. Like, I mean, I've only been doing this for like a year and a half, and I've found five or six other, you know, people that are doing the same thing, but nobody really knows about us. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, partnering with Square Mile has been great, because we get a lot of, you know, press, and we can toot our horns, mm-hmm. you know, and get the word out there that, hey, Amarillo does have a local food scene, and there's people here growing food for you.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
That it's awesome.
Right.
It is awesome. So if to find out more about that, March 1st, four courses for a square mile. That's at OHMS Cafe in Amarillo, 7 p.m. And you can go to the Square Mile website for more info on that. Speaking of which, go ahead and give us that information. If folks want to get involved, find out. It sounds like there are so many different opportunities, whatever you do, whether you help somebody with their resume or help someone, you know, just like randomly help someone in the San Jacinto area. And beyond.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we partner with everything from businesses, individuals, you know, community organizations, churches. We work with a lot, either directly or in helping them come up with strategies to have a bigger impact and a greater impact on their community. So you can always holler at us, our website at square-mile.org. You can hit the contact button. It'll shoot us an email. Our phone number's on there as well. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media things, which we update quite a bit, especially Facebook. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're always happy to answer the phone, sit down over a cup of coffee, or, you know, really be an asset and hopefully be a resource to others and also to learn. I mean, because that's the way we look at this. We don't have all the answers and we're not the experts. We have a lot of experience, but we're always learning from each other, and we're always in a position where we can improve and we can figure out what works here may not work in Pampa. It may not work in Wichita, but there's principles that apply. And so figuring out how those principles can be executed in a way that really has the greatest impact, that's the main point.
And Danny, what about if people want to get in touch with Nuke City?
Yeah, so we have a Contact Us page on our website, nuke-cityveg.com. You'll also find our CSA info there. And I just created a new page with the menu so you can see pictures of everything that we've got. And Facebook, Instagram, all those ways.
Excellent. Well, thank you both for coming in. Thanks for sharing this vision. And I'm really excited to see where this is going to go. I know that from 10 to 2 on Saturdays, folks can come out and just show up at the Belleville and 6th.
Sixth and Bellevue. Just right on Route 66 down the street from all the antique stores and tattoo shops.
Look for the big plastic tunnel on the right.
Or the creeping spinach, whatever you call it. Well, speaking of creeping spinach, we're going to creep on back to some music. So thank you both for being on here. And I can't wait to, have some spring mix. That's right. We got some spring mix. All right. So that is, you helped me round out my Growing on the High Plains Thursday. So y'all, it's almost lunch. You're going to eat something healthy, right?
No, of course.
Of course.
It's possible.
All right. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and play some Maggie's Farm because, well, for obvious reasons. Here's Bob Dylan on High Plains Morning.